But it's so cool how God puts these things together. It really is. I absolutely am just enthralled by how he works in this church in so many different ways. It's just amazing. I love it. God is so good. This morning, my mind is spinning on this message because it's huge, and I'm trying to get it narrowed down into such a way that it's going to be understandable and not put everyone to sleep. So here we go. We're going to pray before we start because I need some clarity of mind here. So let's bow our heads and have a quick word of prayer. Oh, precious Father God, again, you are an amazing and incredible and awesome God, and I just thank you. I really do, Lord. Just being having the chance to come into your presence, Lord, and know you more fully, God, is just a great, great privilege, and I thank you for it. I thank you for setting aside this day, Sunday, that we could come together and to gather as one heart, one mind, and one spirit to worship you and to glorify you and to learn more about you, Lord, and not just learn more about you, but, Lord, learn how to love and to live and in grace and mercy with one another, Lord. And right now, your presence is so needed and so desired in this place, God. And so I pray that you would reveal yourself to us in an amazing way, Lord. I pray that when we leave this place, God, we understand you more fully, God. We have an understanding and a compassion and a desire, Lord, to share the light of your grace of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would just allow this time to be one that fills us up with you. You are an amazing God. We thank you in advance for what you'll do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So this morning, I'm trying to follow up from what we started last week. We were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and looking at the gospel, the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ who is in the image of God. And last week, we looked at this idea that Satan has this amazing power to blind us or to shield our eyes. Because we started off with this in verse 3 in chapter 4. It says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see." And last week, we looked at all the different ways that Satan is trying to blind our eyes from being able to see the glory of God, the image of Christ in our hearts and in our lives. And so last week, we were looking at how he was putting on the blinders, and hopefully we've taken off some of those blinders. And today, we're going to start looking at this little subject called the glory of God. Whew, it's a big subject. Hopefully we can cover it. So as I was studying this week, a very strange question came into my mind. I'd never thought about this. In like 20-some years of ministry, I've never thought about this question. And it's kind of boggling my mind, to be real honest with you. Jesus is pretty important, isn't he? Is that like the understatement of the day? He's like amazingly important. He's probably the most important, actually, he's not probably, he is the most important character in all of history. Would everyone agree with that? The most important character who ever walked the earth is Jesus Christ. Here's what's weird. I've never seen, because there's not one that I know of, a picture of Jesus. Think about it. You've never seen a picture, a drawing, a painting. Of course, you haven't seen a photograph because there were no pictures, no cameras back then. But you've never seen an actual portrait of Christ. Is that a little weird? Why is that? I wonder if it's not because the image of Christ is not something that can be photographed. It's not something that could be looked at and reproduced because the very image of Christ is so much more than a nose and an eyes and an ears. It's situated in a certain way in which we have an image of Christ, because the image of Christ, the glory and the image of God, is so much greater and grander than just a picture or a portrait or a photograph. And yet, with saying that, I have in my mind the image of God. I have portraits of Jesus in so many different ways. What is your favorite portrait? And I know this sounds a little bit weird, but what is your favorite portrait? What is your favorite picture? What is your favorite image of Jesus? What is it?
I'll tell you mine real quick. Just kind of prime the pump a little bit. And I don't know why this is, but when I think of Jesus, my favorite image, my favorite portrait, my favorite picture is a boat with 12 disciples in it who are scared to death. I can see their faces like, sheer terror. They are on the brink of death. They're about to die. And Jesus in the boat asleep on a pillow or on the garments. My favorite picture in my mind is seeing the video of him waking up and the waves crashing over the boat. And he says, "Be still." And the winds stop and the waves cease and there's calm. What's your favorite picture? Come on.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Just Christ interceding. In the Bible pictures and things like that, his prayer before he goes to the cross is just so powerful. I love reading that. And you literally hear the heart of Jesus. But not only that, but also Jesus interceding for each one of us. And that's an amazing picture that we need to have in our heads. An amazing portrait. Thanks, Diane. What else? Come on. This is kind of like the audience participation. Yes, Carol. Karen.
I have a picture of Christ holding the lamb over his
shoulders. Over his shoulders, yeah.
Because the whole picture of how God and how Jesus is our shepherd, and all that a shepherd is to the sheep. And there are times when we're in the greatest turmoil, and that's when we carry
them. That's probably my earliest image of Jesus growing up in the Lutheran church. We had this great big stained glass window. I think a lot of you have probably seen the same image of Jesus holding the lamb and the little leg hanging down and all the other sheep around. And we've got that image of the good shepherd. What else? Come on. Why have we got all ladies doing this? Are the guys not awake or what's going on here? Yeah. That's the very first one on my list right here. It is blessing the children. Him sitting there and all the children just flocking towards him. Yeah. What an awesome image. Yeah. Finally, we got a man. Tucker.
I don't know who the artist was, but it's the famous painting of him kind of looking at an angle. Just from, here, the lady here, and I have that on my nightstand.
Yeah. It's amazing, though. If you go to different countries, this is the part that always cracks me up. If you go to different cultures or different countries, you know, in the United States, we have this Anglo-Saxon, Jesus looking, he's very tan and stuff like that, and the wavy hair. You go to other cultures like Haiti, their picture of Jesus is very different. You go to Africa, it's very different. It's this image, it's these portraits, and I think that's why there is no portrait. There is no actual physical etching or drawing of Jesus because he's more than that picture. So this passage in 2 Corinthians kind of describes the image of Christ in a very interesting way. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 4, we already read this a little bit, but the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see, here it is, the light, here we go, description of Jesus, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Let me say that again. They cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, here we go again, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now there's some imagery there that you've got to understand how we describe, how we have an idea of the image of God and the image of Christ. And what is that word? If we look at this right here, it says they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And then you go down to verse 6 again. Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. There's a picture, there's an image, there's a portrayal of the image of Christ and the glory of God. Right there it's described. You know what it is? I'm going to show you. I got it right back here. I loved these when they first came out. Not when I wasn't around when flashlights first came out. But I know I've used this illustration before. Tracy's back there going, oh no, here we go again. These little flashlights are so amazing. They came out about 3 or 4 years ago or so. And they're, you know, it's pretty cool because this flashlight, whoa! It happens there we go. Happens almost every time. See how bright that is? Whoa! Every time I shine it in someone's face, they go like this and close their eyes. Oh, there it goes again. Yep. These little things are so cool. They're so much brighter than the old regular flashlights. As a matter of fact, when I first got this flashlight, I was so amazed. I took it outside at night when we were living in the other house, and I shone it on our neighbor's house, which is like a quarter or a little over a quarter mile away, and I could literally see their house. Look at this. It's light out. It's light in this room. And look, I can highlight any flag with this flashlight. Isn't that cool? Wow, look at that. Corey, I can even highlight you back there, man. Oh, you're beautiful. It's light. But this is pretty dim. This is pretty dim. Because some of you, after I said everyone's cold, some of you start going like this and trying to keep your eyes open at the light. Ha ha! We're getting serious now. There's a plug-in down here. All right. Whoa. Can you do it? Oh, he's trying hard. Can you see anything now? Like little spots all over the place? Yeah. No?
It's all those trips to the eye doctor.
Oh, okay. You're going again. So here we go. See the light? How bright it is? This is nothing in comparison. Carol's covering it up with her Bible. She's like, no, I'm not looking at the light. This is nothing in comparison to what the glory of the light of Christ is. The image of Christ. Here's a really interesting thing. Throughout the Bible, when we have a real revelation of Jesus' character, you know how it's described? As a light. Take a look with me in Luke. Let's do Luke. Luke chapter 9. This is so cool. Luke chapter 9. Jesus and a few of his disciples are out on a little trip. It's in Luke chapter 9, beginning verse 28. It says, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter and John and James with him, and they went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, listen to what this says. The appearance of his face changed. The appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Pretty cool. His appearance changed and became as bright as a flash of lightning. In John chapter 18, something really interesting happens. It doesn't talk about the light, but there's something really interesting. Remember the song we sang, The Great I Am? It was really weird that we sang that this morning, but it's not, because God's in control and he's got this plan going on. In the midst of Jesus being arrested, you guys remember this? It happened at night, and Jesus being arrested. I don't know why I got here, but somehow I got here this week. In John chapter 18, when they're coming to arrest him, and Judas is leading them, says Jesus knew all this was going to happen to him, who went out and asked him, "Who is it that you want?" The soldiers approach Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus says, "Who is it that you want?" And Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, and this is the only one that records it, but he says, "I am he." Okay, there it is again. And if you've been here a while, there's this thing called the ego a me. All the ego a me statements is the I am statements. It's the name of God. No one else said ego a me because that is I am. That's the name of God that he gave himself. He says, "I am that I am." Ego a me. It's like, let go of my ego. Nobody else gets to use this. It's mine. The ego a me. And Jesus said in many different things, he says, "I am the gate. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the narrow way. I am all these different things. I am the light." And here, when they said, "Who is it?" When Jesus says, "Who is it that they want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He uses that same ego a me. He says, "I am he." And look what it says. Jesus said this. And when Jesus said it, he says, "I am he." Look what happens to the guards. They drew back and fell to the ground. You see, in that very moment, it doesn't say that the light overwhelmed them. But Jesus revealed his true identity to those soldiers at that very moment. Now, they didn't understand it. They didn't get it. In fact, they forgot it very quickly. But as soon as he said, "I am he," the soldiers immediately dropped to the ground. You see, coming into the presence of God, the true presence of God, coming into his very essence, demands no other response than falling on your face. You cannot look into the eyes of God, the brightness of the light of the glory of God. Do you remember Saul when he was converted? Remember what happened? There was a bright light and he was blinded. You see, the glory of God is light. Now, we have a hard time really getting that and understanding it because light does some amazing things, some incredible things. Light reveals things in a way that nothing else can. As a matter of fact, you can have the most beautiful color. We're surrounded by all kinds of colors. We've got blue and red and green and yellow and all these amazing colors within this room, and it's absolutely fantastic and beautiful. But guess what? You can take any one of these colors, no matter how bright, how vibrant, how amazing it is, if you take that amazing color and take it into a dark room with absolutely no light, how amazing is that color? It's not very cool, is it? It's not very bright. It's not very amazing. It's not much of anything. It takes light in order to reveal it. Here's a wild thought. In the presence of God, when we come into the presence of God and do his full glory and understanding him more completely than ever, when we come into heaven and are basking in his glory, remember there's going to be no more sun, there's going to be no need for any other sun because the glory of God is going to shine around us. His light will be so bright. What is it really going to reveal? Right now, our light that we've got now reveals these amazing colors. What happens is you turn up the brightness of the light, and that brightness of the light reveals even more that's surrounding us that we can't see because this light is so dim. Think about that just for a second. These lights are so dim that we can't see all the things that are surrounding us right now. That we can't even imagine that because we have no experience with it. But as the light of the glory of God is so intense, is so amazing, that it opens up a whole new world. And that's his very presence with us. His image. And it's not just the image of Christ. It's the image of God and Christ combined together because they're one. There's something really amazing going on here in this 2 Corinthians passage because I wish, Katie, can you pull up the screen that you can type and make words on the screen? Do you know how to do that? Yeah? You don't know? Don't you just love it when I pull these things on? You were taking a nap back there, and it was easy, and this is, you know, no songs to flip through, and all of a sudden he starts talking to me, and now I've got to do something. So if you could do this, it'd be really cool. I don't know if you'll be able to, but I want people to see the comparison of what's going on in this passage in 2 Corinthians. Right on there. You ready? Nathan's going back to help. George is going back to help. David's back there. Anyone else want to go back and help? You want to go back and help? Go on back. No, we got it. We're good. I want you to see this comparison if we can. In your scriptures, in verse 4, it's still dark behind me. I'm looking for light. Can anyone give me light? Nathan looks concerned. We might not get it.
We're getting there.
We're getting there?
Yeah. The morning
would have been nice. I've got nothing to say. That's what I say every Sunday morning. Some warning would have been nice. No. Here, wow. We're getting closer. All right. Can you type? This is not going to be nearly as amazing now that we're waiting for this long. All right. Yes. I could see you were dying to say something. You've been dying to say something for the last 10 minutes.
Because it was, I didn't realize how relevant it was. I heard it back again.
Huh?
It was before,
Go ahead. Yeah.
You know, something you saw. And I saw that photo negative of a man before me, and like there wasn't a man
maybe before that.
And I opened my eyes and it wasn't because that closing was there.
His presence is real. I don't know how, and some people are thinking I'm absolutely crazy. You know, I know you're crazy, but his presence is real. So here's a neat comparison. I want you to write the light of the, are you doing it? Yeah, you're doing it. Gospel of the glory of Christ. How's she doing? Who is the image of God? The light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now hit return. Now write this. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Okay. Does anyone see it yet? You see the comparison of what's going on here? The light of the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. The light of the good news of the glory of Christ is who is the image of God. Okay? The light of the gospel, the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And then you have the light of the knowledge. So you have the light of the gospel, the good news, and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God instead of the glory of Christ in the face of Christ. You see how the two are intertwined? They're saying the same thing, but they're looking at it from two different angles. You see, the reason they're looking at it from two different ways, then the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ is the image of God, and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, they're... It's like mirror images of each other. But you can have the good news and you can have the knowledge. Here's the thing. You can have these two but not understand the glory of God. Because that's what so many people have right now. They've got the knowledge, they've heard the good news, and they've heard the knowledge, they have understanding, they have an understanding and the knowledge of Christ, but they don't know the image of God. Because here's the thing, you can have knowledge and you can have news, but if you don't have the light, it doesn't mean a thing. How do you get the light? How do you allow it to be revealed to you? In 2 Corinthians, it tells us very plainly how that light comes. If you go back to verse 6, it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." You see, you can have knowledge and you can have news. You can hear the good news. You can hear the gospel. Someone could read it to you over and over again. You could have good news and you could have knowledge of who Christ is. But without the revealing light of God in your hearts, it means absolutely nothing. God has to reveal himself to you in order for you to understand who he is. And there's only one response when God reveals himself to you. It's to glorify him, to honor him, to fall on your knees. I can remember so plainly growing up as a kid. Man, I went to church. Yes? Maybe like some of you kids are right now, you've been coming to church for years because mom and dad are making you come. And I know that someone was reading out of the Bible at some point in time in some way, shape, or form. I know I was hearing the words of the good news. I know it was being said in some way, shape, or form. I knew who Jesus was. I could have told you some of the things he did. I knew about him, all these different things. But I went for almost 25, 26 years without the light. I did the steps, I had the knowledge, I had the understanding, I had all these different things, but I didn't have the light. It had not been revealed to me through God in his perfect timing so that I would understand who Jesus Christ really was. When Jesus really revealed himself to me, I can't say that there was a bright light, I can't say that there was some overwhelming sense, but I can say there was a moment in my life that I recognized that Jesus Christ was real. Not just some story. He was real. And what he did on the cross is the greatest image that we could ever have in our minds. And I have no other choice than to live my life for him, because he's worthy. He's completely and totally worthy of all praise. Jesus has perfect timing in revealing himself. Even to those who know him and understand him, who even walked with him. It blows my mind when I read the story of the resurrection. When Mary's in the garden and she's crying, she's trying to figure out where Jesus went. You remember this story in John? And finally, Jesus reveals himself to her, and she thinks he's a gardener. Remember this? She says, "I don't know where you put him, but tell me, and I'll go get him." And finally, at this right moment, Jesus says, "Mary." And he's revealed. She says, "Rabboni." And the road to Emmaus. These guys who had walked and talked with Jesus for so many times, and he's talking with them, he's revealing the scriptures to them, and they don't recognize him. But when he broke the bread, their eyes, it says, were opened. You know, so many times, I think we're going through life and we're not recognizing Christ, his power, his glory, his plan for us in a daily basis. He wants to reveal himself to us, but we've got to allow our blinders to be taken off and to recognize and see him for who he truly is, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the one who has a plan and a hope and a future for each and every one of us. We need to recognize that the light of Christ will reveal things in our lives, some things we don't want revealed, but he can reveal things in our lives that have never been seen before, that will give us encouragement and power to take the next step of our faith each and every day. You see, it's the glory of God that gives us encouragement to carry on and to follow through and to not be afraid. It's his glory that shines.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me that he says here in this passage, he let his light shine out of darkness and made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He places his very light, his very essence in the heart of his people, allowing his light to shine through us of the Holy Spirit in these broken vessels of clay. He says we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not for us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. The light of Christ shining through you. It always amazes me when I look at the epistle of 1 John. It always gets me. Probably one of my favorite passages of the Bible, the epistle of 1 John. When John is trying to explain this ministry of Jesus. And he says, that which, and I'm going to just, there's a reason he does this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. They've experienced it in every sort of way. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. It amazes me every time I read it that why didn't he say Jesus at the very beginning? Why didn't he say Jesus whom we have seen, whom we have touched, whom we have heard? He did that because Jesus is not a person that is confined to one particular time and place. He says that which. He didn't want to confine him to one period of time. That which, because Jesus is alive today as he was back then. We have the same opportunity, to realize and understand who Christ is. The light of Christ shining in us. And to make our joy complete, we have to share the light with those around us. Here's the hard part, and I'm done. We're going to get out way early today. Woo! We share the light that is within us, which is the Holy Spirit, through these broken vessels. But we can't make anyone see the light. Did you hear me? We can't make anyone see the light. I can't open your eyes. Nobody can open your eyes except God. So as diligent as we are at sharing the good news of God, sharing the light of Christ in so many ways, even in words, as diligent as we are at preaching the word and saying the word and living out the word, we need to be equally as diligent in praying for those who have not received the light. Asking our God to open the eyes of their hearts. Open the eyes of their hearts so they may see God. And honestly, when that light is revealed, it's game over.
because you cannot come into the presence. The light of Christ cannot shine in your life without responding in shock and awe, amazement and praise and worship and giving glory to God. Amen? I'm done. Whew! We just scratched it. I mean, we're just scratching it. It is so hard. It's so hard to describe the glory of God in words. That's why it's an image of light that is so bright that can reveal His truth, His grace to us through Jesus. We're going to stand and sing.